Sirloin is a popular family steak. All sirloins are excellent eating, but there are some slight differences. To get the most lean meat for your money, look for a sirloin steak with a round bone. To get the most tender sirloin, look for one with a long, flat bone. You can broil or pan broil sirloin steak if it's graded USDA Prime, Choice, or Good. If you want more tips on buying steak, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock when On the Town with Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 is your emergency. Reach the host number. Emergencies only, please, because I can't really stop what I'm doing and answer the phone and on and on and on. Favorite story from this past weekend, very quickly. Down in Philadelphia. There was a gentleman named Hakeem Laws walking down the street, and he saw a house on fire. And he stayed outside the house as another man ran inside and ran into the building to try and rescue people. And speaking to local reporters, Hakeem Laws had this to say, quote, "My man just started throwing babies out, and we were catching them, unlike Aguilar." That would be Nelson Aguilar of the Philadelphia Eagles, who had a rough day on Sunday. And this little news clip made national headlines in sports circles because it's pretty funny that, you know, you just saved some young people's lives. And we were catching them. My man just started throwing babies out, and we were catching them, unlike Aguilar. Well, Nelson Aguilar reached out to Hakeem Laws and invited him and his family to the next Eagles home game, which is a real nice move by the Eagles, a real nice move by Nelson Aguilar. You know, you're a pro football player, you're going to have a rough game once in a while, and it's good to see somebody take something like that with good humor instead of rushing to Twitter to complain about everything that's wrong in the world. You may not have realized it, but you woke up this morning to a constitutional crisis. That's right. We are in the midst of a constitutional crisis because Nancy Pelosi yesterday said that the House would open impeachment proceedings against President Donald Trump. Now, I am not a fan of this president. I'm not a fan of any particular president. JFK did some good stuff. I kind of an FDR guy. I like Franklin Delano. I think Franklin did a lot of good, but Franklin messed some stuff up too. They all mess stuff up. They got some things right. They got some things wrong. Hopefully they don't leave the country worse than when they came into office. So Trump has done some good things. Okay. We have to acknowledge that he has done some good things. Just as we have to acknowledge that Barack Obama did some bad things. Okay. I'm not saying you should like Trump. I'm not saying you should go out and celebrate Donald Trump. Personally, I find the man lacking in a lot of ways. I think his use of the office and his handling of the office really does not do anybody any favors at all. I think Donald Trump likes to have an environment of chaos around him so that he can be the one in control of the situation. He's constantly keeping everybody around him off guard so that he can take advantage in the ways that benefit him the most. This is not normally what we get from a president. You know, usually we look for our presidents to have some stability and consistency. Well, you're not getting that here. But we got impeachment talk yesterday over a phone call between the president of the United States and the president of Ukraine, a Mr. Vladimir Zhirinovsky. And in this call, allegedly, the president demanded that Ukraine investigate Joe Biden and Joe Biden's son. And in exchange, the United States would free up the $415 in military aid that it had held up. This was the allegation that was made by the media, not by anyone with actual knowledge of what went on, but by the media. The media started connecting these dots and saying, aha, the president froze the military aid. Then he called the president and said, you're going to do this for me, or you're not going to get your military aid. That's the allegation. Since then, we have had the readout of this conversation released. Now, I thought about a couple of different ways of presenting this tonight. And what I'm going to do, because this illustrates everything that's gone wrong in Washington right now. And the truck honking outside is what's gone wrong outside of our studios here in Medford. This is from NBC News. This is the reaction. Lawmakers react to text of Trump's Ukraine call. Quote, a classic mob shakedown. The newly released summary of President Donald Trump's July call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky swept through Washington in the 2020 trail Wednesday, bolstering Democrats' calls for impeachment and eliciting defensive outrage from some Republicans. Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, tweeted, the transcript of the call reads like a classic mob shakedown. We do a lot for Ukraine. There's not much reciprocity. I have a favor to ask. Investigate my opponent. My people will be in touch. Nice country you got there. It would be a shame if something happened to her. This is a United States representative tweeted this. Hopefully, if the voters in that district are paying attention, maybe he gets challenger in the race. Pelosi on Wednesday said that the release of the notes of the call by the White House confirms that the president engaged in behavior that undermines the integrity of our elections, the dignity of the office he holds, and our national security. The president has tried to make lawlessness a virtue in America and now is exporting it abroad. Biden released a statement later Wednesday saying, it is a tragedy for this country that our president put personal politics above his sacred oath. He has put his own political interests over our national security interest, which is bolstering Ukraine against Russian pressure. It is an affront to every single American and the founding values of our country. Congress must pursue the facts and quickly take prompt action to hold Donald Trump accountable. Here's Senator Elizabeth Warren. It's a solicitation of help from a foreign government for his own political purposes. That is the smoking gun. It's right there in his own words. He's admitted it. She also pushed back against the idea that the Republican-controlled Senate wouldn't vote to convict him in an impeachment trial. Quote, I actually am not so sure that it's DOA, she said. Republicans may not want to go out of their way right now, but I think that vote has to be put in front of them. And look, at the end of the day, everybody will vote, and then they will live with that for the rest of their lives. So here's some background. This is my favorite. This is Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, also on Twitter. Quote, wow, impeachment over this. What a nothing burger. Democrats have lost their minds when it comes to President Trump. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa also brushed off Wednesday's news. I have read the transcript in its entirety. It shows that there was no quid pro quo. The Ukrainian president admitted problems with corruptions in the country and agreed that the issue at hand warranted looking into further. So here's the backstory. This started percolating late last week when we heard that a whistleblower had come forward with a complaint that Donald Trump had behaved inappropriately. Well, who's this whistleblower? What did he do? Then we found out it was a phone call with a foreign leader. What foreign leader? What did he do? Then we found out it was Ukraine. What did he do? And it's more or less been going along like this. Someone brought up that we'd frozen military aid, and it was, oh, there must be a quid pro quo. He pressured Ukraine and said, you're not getting your military aid unless you do this thing for me. Corruption, corruption, corruption. Lindsey Graham is closer to the truth on this, that this is a big nothing burger. To demonstrate that, I'm going to share with you the actual words of Donald Trump and Vladimir Zelensky, because I have in front of me the readout. Now, a readout is not... Here's another area where the media has gotten this wrong. Everyone's been talking about the transcript. We need the transcript. We need the transcript. Oh, and by the way, one little detail that I left out. The person that filed the complaint, the person that filed the whistleblower complaint, hadn't read this. He heard about it from someone else. So somebody who may be a supporter of Joe Biden, who hears about a thing from somebody, files a complaint, the Justice Department looks into it and says, this is a nothing burger, and closes it. But then it leaks to the media. Then it's, oh, the whistleblower complaint. So this is the readout. And they've been talking about the transcript. We need the transcript. We need the transcript. Well, they released the transcript this morning. They declassified it. It is not a transcript. It is a readout. And there is a difference. And they specify this. And I'm going to read you the exact caution that is on this document. A memorandum of a telephone conversation, telcon, they're going to have their little abbreviations for everything, is not a verbatim transcript of a discussion. The text in this document records the notes and recollections of situation room duty as the conversation takes place. The notes and recollections of situation room duty officers and NSC policy staff assigned to listen and memorialize the conversation in written form as the conversation takes place. A number of factors can affect the accuracy of the record, including poor telecommunications connections and variations in accent and or interpretation. The word inaudible is used to indicate portions of a conversation that the note taker was unable to hear. Okay. Now, Donald Trump mentioned last week that when he has phone calls, there are people listening in. And this is true. Okay. The president isn't like out in the shed, out in back of the White House on a cell phone. Like, hey, Vladimir, can you do a thing for me? Hey, guy, hey, Vladimir, hey, it's Trump. You love me, right? Hey, can you do a thing for me? No. He's sitting in his office. This is an official call. He's sitting in his office, okay? He's on speakerphone. There are other people in the office with him. They're not saying anything. They're writing down notes. There is somebody else, maybe a couple of other people, listening in on the line. They are writing down notes. Everyone is writing down notes about this conversation. And at the end of it, they all put together their notes and they come up with this readout, which is a reasonable approximation of everything that was said. It's a pretty short conversation. And so that you can distinguish one of the conversants from the other, I will do my best as I read this to try and perform the roles of the individual. So I will speak as Donald Trump and I will speak as President Vladimir Zelensky in a bad Russian accent. From the president, congratulations on a great victory. We all watched from the United States, and you did a terrific job. The way you came from behind, somebody wasn't given much of a chance, and you ended up winning easily. It's a fantastic achievement. Congratulations. You're absolutely right, Mr. President. We did win big, and we worked hard for this. We worked a lot, but I would like to confess to you that I had an opportunity to learn from you. We used quite a few of your skills and knowledge and were able to use it as an example for our elections. And yes, it is true that these were unique elections. We were in a unique situation, that we were able to achieve a unique success. I'm able to tell you the following. The first time you called me to congratulate me when I won my presidential election. And the second time you are now calling me when my party won the parliamentary election. I think I should run more often so you can call me more often. And we can talk over the phone more often. Ha ha ha! That's a very good idea. I think your country is very happy about that. Well, yes, to tell you the truth, we are trying to work hard because we wanted to drain the swamp here in our country. We brought in many new people, not the old politicians, not the typical politicians, because we want to have a new format and a new type of government. You are a great teacher for us and in that. Well, it's very nice of you to say that. I will say I do a lot for Ukraine. We spend a lot of effort and a lot of time, much more than the European countries are doing, and they should be helping you more than they are. Germany does almost nothing for you. All they do is talk, and I think it's something that you should really ask them about. When I was speaking to Angela Merkel, she talks Ukraine, but she doesn't do anything. A lot of the European countries are the same way, so I think it's something you want to look at. But the United States has been very good to Ukraine. I wouldn't say that it's reciprocal necessarily because things are happening that are not good, but the United States has been very good to Ukraine. Here we go. Here's the setup. It's not reciprocal. They're jumping on this line. It's not reciprocal. We're giving Ukraine $415 million in military aid. Ukraine does not have $415 million to give back to us. Okay? It's not reciprocal. We're not expecting that money back. We're giving money to Ukraine. And this is Donald Trump saying, hey, Angela Merkel talks a good game. I don't see her ponying up the cash. I don't see France ponying up the cash. I don't see Europe ponying up the cash. And the reason we're giving this military aid, by the way, is because there are Russians lurking around on the border. And giving this money to Ukraine in the form of military aid is a way for the United States to say to Russia, do not come any further into Ukraine. We are investing money here, and we don't appreciate Russians coming around and taking things that we've invested in. That's the real reason for the aid. That and the fact that Ukraine would be overrun overnight if we weren't backing them against the Russians. Here is President Zelensky. Yes, you're absolutely right. Not only 100%, but actually 1,000%. And I can tell you the following. I did talk to Angela Merkel, and I did meet with her. I also met and talked with Macron, and I told him that they are not doing quite as much as they need to be doing on the issues with the sanctions. They are not enforcing the sanctions. They are not working as much as they should work for Ukraine. It turns out that even though logically the European Union should be our biggest partner, but technically the United States is a much bigger partner than the European Union. And I am very grateful to you for that, because the United States is doing quite a lot for Ukraine, much more than the European Union, especially when we are talking about sanctions against the Russian Federation. I would also like to thank you for your great support in the area of defense. We are ready to continue to cooperate for the next steps. Specifically, we are almost ready to buy more javelins from the United States for defense purposes. So, again... We're talking about Europe. They're not enforcing the sanctions. Of course they're not, because they like the cheap energy that flows out of Russia. They like the cheap natural resources that flow out of Russia. The United States is keeping up its part with the sanctions. Europe is not. The United States is giving $415 million in military aid to Ukraine, which, by the way, they take that $415 million and then they turn around and spend it on American weapons, which is where these Javelin missiles come in. Right. So we're going to give you money. You're going to buy our missiles. It's a backdoor subsidy to the defense industry. I think everybody knows that's how it works. But just in case you didn't, you'll learn something here. The president, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people. The server, they say Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on. The whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the Attorney General call you or your people, and I would like you to get to the bottom of it. As you saw yesterday, that whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller. An incompetent performance. But they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do. It's very important that you do it, if that's possible. Yes, it is very important for me and everything that you just mentioned earlier. For me as president, it is very important and we are open for any future cooperation. We are ready to open a new page on cooperation and relations between the United States and Ukraine. For that purpose, I just recalled our ambassador from United States and he will be replaced by a very competent and very experienced ambassador who will work hard on making sure that our two nations are getting closer. I would also like and hope to see him having your trust and your confidence and have personal relations with you so we can cooperate even more so. I will personally tell you that one of my assistants spoke with Mr. Giuliani just recently, and we are hoping very much that Mr. Giuliani will be able to travel to Ukraine, and we will meet once he comes to Ukraine. I just wanted to assure you once again that you have nobody but friends around us. I will make sure that I surround myself with the best and most experienced people. I also wanted to tell you that we are friends. We are great friends, and you, Mr. President, have friends in our country so we can continue our strategic partnership. I also plan to surround myself with great people, and in addition to that investigation, I guarantee as the President of Ukraine that all the investigations will be done openly and candidly. That I can assure you. Mr. President, good, because I heard you had a prosecutor who was very good, and he was shut down, and that's really unfair. A lot of people are talking about that, the way they shut your very good prosecutor down, and you had some very bad people involved. Mr. Giuliani is a highly respected man. He was the mayor of New York City, a great mayor, and I would like him to call you. I will ask him to call you, along with the attorney general. Rudy very much knows what's happening, and he is a very capable guy. If you could speak to him, that would be great. The former ambassador from the United States, the woman, was bad news, and the people she was dealing with in the Ukraine were bad news, so I just want to let you know that. The other thing, there's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that, so whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution, so if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. I wanted to tell you about the prosecutor. First of all, I understand and I'm knowledgeable about the situation. Since we have won the absolute majority in our parliament, the next prosecutor general will be 100% my person, my candidate, who will be approved by the parliament and will start as a new prosecutor in September. He or she will look into the situation, specifically to the company that you mentioned in this issue. The issue of the investigation of the case is actually the issue of making sure to restore the honesty, so we will take care of that and will work on the investigation of the case. On top of that, I would kindly ask you if you have any additional information that you can provide to us. It would be very helpful for the investigation to make sure that we administer justice in our country with regard to the ambassador to the United States from Ukraine. As far as I recall, her name was Ivanovich. It was great that you were the first one who told me that she was a bad ambassador, because I agree with you 100%. Her attitude toward me was far from the best, as she admired the previous president and she was on his side. She would not accept me as new president well enough. Well, she's going to go through some things. I will have Mr. Giuliani give you a call, and I'm also going to have Attorney General Barr call, and we will get to the bottom of it. I'm sure you will figure it out. I heard the prosecutor was treated very badly, and he was a very fair prosecutor, so good luck with everything. Your economy is going to get better and better, I predict. You have a lot of assets. It's a great country. I have many Ukrainian friends. They're incredible people. I would like to tell you that I also have quite a few Ukrainian friends that live in the United States. Actually, last time I traveled to the United States, I stayed in New York near Central Park, and I stayed at the Trump Tower. I will talk to them, and I hope to see them again in the future. I also wanted to thank you for your invitation to visit the United States, specifically Washington, D.C. On the other hand, I also want to assure you that we will be very serious about the case and will work on the investigation. As to the economy, there is much potential for our two countries, and one of the issues that is very important for Ukraine is energy independence. I believe we can be very successful in cooperating on energy independence with the United States. We are already working on cooperation. We are buying American oil, but I am very hopeful for a future meeting. We will have more time and more opportunities to discuss these opportunities and to get to know each other better. I would like to thank you very much for your support. Good. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate that. I will tell Rudy and Attorney General Barr to call. Thank you. Whenever you would like to come to the White House, feel free to call. Give us a date, and we'll work that out. I look forward to seeing you. Thank you very much. I would be very happy to come and would be happy to meet with you personally and get to know you better. I am looking forward to our meeting, and I also would like to invite you to visit Ukraine and come to the city of Kyiv, which is a beautiful city. We have a beautiful country which would welcome you. On the other hand, I believe that on September 1st we will be in Poland, and we can meet in Poland, hopefully. After that, it might be a very good idea for you to travel to Ukraine. We can either take my plane and go to Ukraine, or we can take your plane, which is probably much better than mine. Okay, we can work that out. I look forward to seeing you in Washington and maybe in Poland, because I think we are going to be there at that time. Thank you very much, Mr. President. Congratulations on the fantastic job you've done. The whole world was watching. I'm not sure it was so much of an upset, but congratulations. Thank you, Mr. President. Bye-bye. Boom. That's it. That's it. That's the conversation. This is two world leaders trying to out-flatter each other. That's all it is. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, we're friends. Oh, we're friends. You have a great economy. You're going to have a great economy. We'll have a great economy with your help. We want to cooperate with the United States. We love you. This is what the Democrats, this is the hill the Democrats chose to die on. And it's the hill that they're going to die on. And I'll tell you what really makes them upset. I'll tell you what really burns them is right off the bat. We got Zelensky in here talking about draining the swamp. We're going to drain the swamp. We're going to get rid of the corruption. Now, the president does ask for a couple of things in here. And the Ukrainian president asks for a couple of things in here. The Ukrainian president is like, we want to talk about energy independence. And we want you to come to Ukraine. And the president says, look, can you look into what happened with Hillary's server? Because we think there's a Ukrainian connection. And can you look into that prosecutor that was investigating Joe Biden's son? This is where our whistleblower, by the way, felt the need to go scream about campaign finance violations, which is the basis of the complaint, by the way. This whistleblower, who never read this readout, who wasn't in the room, who didn't hear the conversation, heard about this from a friend who was concerned. Thought it was a campaign finance violation that the president of the United States would ask the president of a foreign nation to investigate potential wrongdoing by an American citizen. That's what happened. That's the conversation. Now, the American citizen in question happens to be Joe Biden. And Joe Biden happened to be vice president of the United States at the time. And Joe Biden has said publicly that he put pressure on Ukraine to get rid of a special investigator. That special investigator was looking into a gas company that Joe Biden's son Hunter sat on the board of. So Hunter Biden's on the board of this company. Joe Biden's vice president of the United States. Ukrainians start looking into the company, alleging corruption. Joe Biden pushes Ukraine and says, hey, get rid of that guy. Now, Joe and Hunter maintain they never talk to each other. Doesn't matter if they talk to each other or not. Okay? That reeks. That absolutely reeks. The optics on that are extremely poor. Because it looks like, to anybody who's reasonable, Joe Biden is interfering in the investigation conducted by a foreign sovereign nation for the benefit of his son. Now, I generally hold a pretty high opinion of Biden, okay? But Biden has been involved in shenanigans in the past, and this has shenanigans written all over it. But this is your mafia shakedown. This is your mafia shakedown. This is Donald Trump shaking down the president of Ukraine amid laughter. What does he say here? There's one line in here that they've seized on. You know, and this is where President Trump says, the United States has been very good to Ukraine. I wouldn't say that it's reciprocal necessarily, because things are happening that are not good, but the United States has been very good to Ukraine. Now, What does he mean by that? Well, what he means is we're giving you guys millions of dollars in military aid. Okay? He's giving you guys millions of dollars in military aid. And by the way, the reason that military aid was frozen was to light a fire under Europe. That military aid was frozen before this phone call to light a fire under Europe because Europe is not enforcing the sanctions. Europe is not contributing to Ukraine's defense. And to be honest, as we understand, this is a backdoor subsidy for our military-industrial complex. Okay, Germany and France aren't going to give money to Ukraine so they can buy American weapons. America is going to give money to Ukraine so they'll buy American weapons. That's all that is right there. Okay. If you want a quid pro quo, that's it. But that's the way that foreign military aid works. We give you millions of dollars. You buy our jets and our guns and our tanks. And then we write that down as profit. And some of it finds its way back into Wall Street in the form of Lockheed Martin shares and McDonnell Douglas shares and Colt shares. See how all this works? When we get into the actual ask, here we go. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people, the server. And this is typical Donald Trump. Donald Trump, when he doesn't know the right word to say, just starts throwing out word salad. He's thinking out loud. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people. The server. They say Ukraine has it. There's a lot of things that went on. The whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the Attorney General call you or your people, and I would like you to get to the bottom of it. This is the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server and the breach of the Democratic National Committee during the 2016 election, which was carried out by Russia. There has been some speculation that server was located in Ukraine and that the Russians may have gotten into it. That's what that question is about. And then we get into the Biden thing a little bit later. He wants you to talk with Giuliani. The other thing, this is Donald Trump. There's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the Attorney General would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution. So if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. That statement, Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution, is a fact. Joe Biden interfered in an investigation carried out by a foreign sovereign nation for the benefit of his son, perhaps, possibly, maybe not. But the optics are there. Now, does such an investigation benefit Donald Trump politically? Perhaps it does. Perhaps it doesn't. They may find that there was no wrongdoing at all, because the prosecutor that was removed in Ukraine had been accused of corruption himself. And that's been the argument that has come out of the Biden camp and has come out of the Democrat camp. The reason they asked for this guy to be removed is because he was corrupt and he was in no position to judge corruption elsewhere. He was not trustworthy. Now, if the president can get some information from Ukraine as part of a normal investigation, by the way, an investigation that should be carried out, if our vice president is tampering with an international investigation to protect his son, that's a crime. That's a real, legitimate crime. Asking a foreign leader to assist in an investigation and to provide resources for an investigation is not a crime. That's government. That's what world leaders do all the time. Usually it's Interpol that does it, or usually it's some low-level flunky that does it. Someone from the State Department calls up somebody overseas and says, hey, we got an investigation going on. Can you get some of your top people on it? And the people overseas either say, oh, you are Americans, you are our friends, we are happy to help. Or they say, go kick rocks. One of the two. president of Ukraine is saying, hey, we love America. We love the United States. We love Donald Trump. Absolutely. Whatever you want. What do you need? Trump is sitting here saying, hey, if you want that military aid, you're going to do this thing for me. He is asking for assistance in an investigation. Guess what? That's a normal part of his job. That's what the president does. He's sitting in a room full of people conducting normal presidential business. But Biden's involved. This must be some sort of shenanigans. There's no shenanigans here. None. There is no mafia style shakedown. There's no classic mob shakedown, as Adam Schiff defines it. Adam Schiff apparently has no idea what a mob shakedown is. And what he tweeted is a complete and total misrepresentation of the conversation. This is what the Democrats are counting on. They're counting on the fact that you won't ever read this. They're counting on the fact that you won't ever hear this. You know, they're counting on the fact that you don't listen to the big picture and have someone who will share the original source document with you. Because when you read it, and by the way, the Washington Post has put it online. You can go and read it for yourself. When you read it, you got to agree with Lindsey Graham. There's nothing here. This is a normal conversation between two world leaders. I find the Angela Merkel details juicy, actually. That to me was the most exciting thing that came out of this, is Donald Trump saying that Angela Merkel is all talk and no action. Because that reveals a certain disdain for Angela Merkel that apparently is shared by the Ukrainian leader. Because, as he says, Europe is not enforcing the sanctions against Russia because they want the cheap energy. So what is impeachable in here? Nothing. What is a campaign finance violation in here? Nothing. The Justice Department already concluded that. And the reason they weren't going to hand the whistleblower complaint over is because before this conversation was declassified, it involved intelligence information. They weren't authorized to give it to Congress. Congress had to go to the White House to get that. The White House said, go kick rocks, which was the White House's prerogative. But then the media gets involved and, oh my God, it's another scandal. No, it's actually another opportunity for the media and the Democrats to get laughed at. Here's a particularly bad example of the media. Is this the one that I was looking at? No, this is the Washington Post. They have kind of they've kind of done a good job on this. No, maybe it was them. Maybe it was them. Here's the Washington Post. Trump does suggestively mention the U.S. being very, very good to Ukraine. Yes. He said that. We do a lot for Ukraine. We spend a lot of effort and a lot of time because they're our ally. They're our friend. And then Trump immediately launches into asking for investigations. There was one quote in here that I was looking for, and I can't find it. Now, they do rightfully say that Zelensky brings up the corruption first, not President Trump. But when this story started to break, and I read the transcript, and I said, this is nothing. There is nothing to this. I don't know, you know, what anybody is upset about with this. The Democrats have made a very, very bad decision. This is going to backfire on them horribly. But one of the thoughts that went through my mind was, as a means of justifying the outrage, we will have the gender studies majors come screaming out of the woodwork to say, well, it's about power imbalance. The United States has all the power in this situation. So Donald Trump shouldn't be asking anything of Ukraine at all. And sure enough, some dumb journalist actually went out and said this. I thought it was in this. It wasn't in this Washington Post piece. It was in. I've read so many pieces on this today that it is difficult for me to keep track on who wrote what and who said what. And I don't think I'm going to find it. Well, there we go. This is ABC News. No, this is a comment. This is one of the more reasonable comments that came out today. If somebody is the point person in a U.S. administration in a country, and then a company hires the son of that person to be on this board with no obvious qualifications, that would seem like it sets up a conflict of interest, said Yoshiko Herrera, a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, who is an expert at Russia and Eurasian policy, speaking to ABC News. But one of the things that I expected someone was going to say is, well, it's a power imbalance. Well, of course it's a power imbalance. It's the United States of America. Okay, like, we're it. And if you're going to start wagging your power imbalance finger, then the only country in the world we can talk to is China and maybe Russia. We shouldn't be having conversations with world leaders anywhere at any time because it's a power imbalance. Please stop. Nations can stand up for themselves, okay? The average American does not need to look out for Ukraine against President Trump. So the Democrats have doubled down on this, and this is bad news. And I'm going to tell you why they did it. It's because the Democrats find themselves between a rock and a hard place. There was a poll that came out last week from Gallup that found the headline on the poll was that there was an 85% gap in the approval rating between Republicans and Democrats for Donald Trump. And it was the highest gap in approval rating that they'd ever recorded. That was the headline. The real story was in between the lines. 29-29-42. If you listen to this show, you know what that means. If you don't know what that means, here's a reminder and internalize this. 29-29-42. 29% of the country is Democrats. 29% of the country is Republicans. 42% of the country is independent. Those are rough numbers, but they're pretty accurate, and they've held over time. The real finding in the Gallup poll was that Donald Trump had 100% of the Republican vote. That's 29% of the people right there. 5% of Democrats support him. 5% of Democrats support the president. So he's up to about 31%. And more than half of independents support Donald Trump, which means Donald Trump is going to get reelected. He has a 51 to 52% approval rating. And presidents with approval ratings like that get reelected. That's the rock for the Democrats. The hard place for the Democrats, Elizabeth Warren is leading in the polls. Now, that may be making a lot of Democrats feel good, but let me tell you some reality. No president in the modern era, we're going all the way back to the turn of the century, not the 20th, but the 20th, 1900 onward, no president has been elected without the support of Wall Street. Elizabeth Warren has made Wall Street her number one enemy, and they are not going to support her. So if Elizabeth Warren gets the nomination, Wall Street is going to pull out all the stops. And Wall Street has a very powerful weapon that it can leverage to make sure she doesn't get elected. And that is your retirement plan. Whether you have an IRA, a 401k, or a bank account, unless you have your retirement money stuffed in a mattress somewhere, which, by the way, you shouldn't do, Wall Street controls it. And Wall Street is going to remind you of that fact. And Wall Street is going to terrify you with apocalyptic visions of what will happen to your money should Elizabeth Warren become president of the United States. A majority of the American people may not have wanted Donald Trump, but Wall Street said he was okay. That's why he got in. Wall Street loves the guy, actually, because things have been booming down there since he got elected. So this is why the Democrats realize now that they have problems and that their only way forward is to try and impeach this president and get him thrown out of office. It is not going to work. It is going to backfire on them horribly. And it is going to backfire on their media enablers, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post, whoever you want. Whoever's running with this story and saying, oh my God, impeachment. Remember the story of the boy who cried wolf? They have cried wolf one too many times, and the American people aren't listening anymore. And the worst possible result of all of this is that the Democrats and the media have blown their credibility on trying to impeach this president and trying to investigate this president and trying to find some corrupt bombshell. That the president pretty much has carte blanche now to do whatever he wants. Because the next time they come around and say, the president broke the law, how many Americans are still going to believe them? 855-915-9636. On the Tell Mikey D, everything you need to know about the Boston music scene coming your way in just about 12 minutes. But before we get to that, we still have my favorite thing from the past week and the strangest thing from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass. 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are. As my memory but never forgets what I lost. Wake me up when September ends. Yeah. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass. 20 years has gone.
In it, laughing it, living it, loving it. You'll find Heaven Sent fragrance at Helena Rubinstein counters everywhere.
Suddenly, you are all of the things that you want to be. A little bit naughty, but heavenly in Heaven Sent. Heaven Sent.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, the waning moments of the big picture on the Tell Mikey D coming your way in just about 5 minutes. But before that, what's hot? My favorite thing from the past week is actually something that is coming up. If you are thinking of seeing The Joker, and I maintain that you should, go see it. Make up your own mind about the movie. Good news if you are a big, big cinema fan. It is going to be screening in 70 millimeter. And I bring this up now because if you want to go opening weekend, you know, before the mobs shut the movie down, you're going to want to get those tickets now. Why would you want to see it in 70 millimeter? Because it's film and because digital is garbage. I know it looks good enough, but it's not film. And those of us who know film understand the colors are better on film. The movement is smoother on film. You don't get any weird movement around the edges of the mouth. You don't get any jaggies. You don't get any of those things. So you can go see it in crappy digital IMAX, or you can see it in gorgeous 70 millimeter film. You couldn't even get The Last Tarantino in 70 millimeter around here, but you can get The Joker in 70 millimeter. It is going to be showing at two theaters, one of them just a stone's throw from this broadcast studio at the Somerville Theater in Davis Square. Go to somervilletheater.com/movie/Joker-70mm or at the Coolidge Corner Theater in lovely Coolidge Corner, Brookline. And that is coolidge.org/film/Joker-70mm. If you like films, if you like cinema, if you like movies, don't miss an opportunity to go see a film in 70 millimeter. It is a wildly different experience from what you're used to at your local digital Cineplex. You will thank me for sending you there. You will enjoy the film more, and you will encourage them to distribute more 70mm prints of new movies. So highly recommended that you check that out. As we've been hearing, this film is an homage to the early Scorsese films, and Scorsese shot on celluloid. So I think that is going to be the way that you're going to want to see The Joker. And we close, as always, with That's a Thing That Happened, the strangest story from the past week, at least the strangest story from the past week that I could find. Florida. It's always Florida. Here's how not to make a getaway. Courtney Bax, 32, and certainly old enough to know better, began her evening with a bit of shoplifting on Okaloosa Island. She would have gotten away with it too, since police rarely pursue shoplifting cases, if she hadn't left the scene on a bicycle. Then headed for Highway 98, then removed her shirt. Multiple reports of a topless woman riding a bike on the highway brought police, who told her to pull over. "Make me," she said, and they did, finding the shoplifted items on her person. No word on the location of her shirt. Note to self, note to all your kids out there, topless on a bicycle, not how you make your getaway. That is just about all the time we have on the Tell Mikey D, coming your way in just a few minutes. Happy autumn. It's nice to be in autumn. We get all sorts of nice autumn things going on right now. Dunkin' Donuts has released their autumn donuts, including one of my personal favorites. That would be the Spider Donut. That is a frosted donut. It's not chocolate frosted. It's that orange colored frosting. I don't know what flavor it's supposed to be. But there's a Dunkin' Munchkin in the middle of it. They draw spider legs on it, and little eyes on the Munchkin. So it looks like there's a spider sitting on your donut. That's fun. Pumpkin spice everything is out. That's less fun. But what are you going to do? Topsfield Fair is going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. So make plans now if you're going to attend that. As always, I recommend if you're going to Topsfield Fair, go early. Because the first weekend, all the produce is fresh. They're weighing the giant pumpkin. Everybody's in a good mood. By the second weekend, the produce is wilted. Some of the animals have gone home. And the carnies are just ready to be done with the season. So that is just about all the time that we have. We'll be back next week, as usual. No more interruptions in the schedule for the rest of the year. For me, I don't think. A couple of quick programming notes. There will be some sort of great 4-hour Halloween program coming your way. Halloween week. I think Halloween's on a Thursday. So Halloween-een, 4 hours of spooky music and fun. No politics, no talk that week. Just some fun. And of course, this is about the time of year when I got to start bringing up the annual Thanksgiving-een. Night Before Thanksgiving, tribute to American holiday consumerism, will be happening again this year. Will there be a Black Friday? We'll find out. It's been going downhill. We'll have a studio full of people, and we will have a lot of fun. So until next time, have a great, enjoyable first week of autumn.